Over at the K-State booth, Russell Plushka joins us now. Good to see you, Russ.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You bet. All right. Well, in between North Dakota, there's South Dakota and Nebraska, and then we get to Kansas. But Kansas, like North Dakota, you are going, how do we get more dairy cows going in the state? And that's an agenda you have.
Yeah, and we're really looking at, I've always said that Kansas is kind of a tale of two dairy states. We have the larger producers that are out in western and southwest Kansas mainly. And then the eastern half of the state, we see a lot more of our traditional dairy farms, the family generational dairies. So we're trying to balance that strategic growth. We have the addition of a Hillmar cheese factory that'll be in Dodge City. So they'll be increasing their milk inflow about 8 million pounds a day that they'll be processing. So that growth and expansion, of course, is a stress on resources in the western side of the state, as well as it's competitive with the other, the feedlots and the beef industry and that side of the state. So how do we balance that and be very strategic about where these dairies are placed, how many we bring in, and really balance that growth with also maintaining our smaller generational dairies on the eastern side of the state? How do we provide opportunities for them? How do we add value for them, whether that's on-farm processing, or can we bring in a small, medium processor to the eastern side of the state to help balance that out? So,
have you lost a lot of dairies over the years, and you're trying to reverse that, or is the trend going to keep going to fewer dairies in or dairy farms in Kansas before that trend is reversed?
I would love to pull out a crystal ball and be able to give you a great answer on that, but unfortunately, yeah, we have lost a lot of dairies over the years. I've worked for the Kansas Department of Ag now for 8 years, and in that 8 year span, we've gone from about 250 dairies to we're less than 200 dairies across the state of Kansas. Our cow numbers, our milk production has gone up. So we're now ranked right around 15th, 16th in the nation in terms of milk production. Again, with the addition of Hillmar, that'll bump us into the top 10, but that's not our goal, to be the number one or the top 10 dairy producer. We want to be good at what we do. We want to provide a great opportunity for our producers, whether they're producing forage, corn, whatever, or their milk or cheese in the case of Hillmar or whoever we bring in next, or if we can find somebody to come in. So it's really about, we want to maintain what we have. We want to provide an opportunity for any size dairy to be successful in the state of Kansas.
Like North Dakota, biosecurity and space and feed production, those are all bragging points that Kansas has to attract some of the California or other dairies who just kind of, you know, it ain't friendly to be a dairy in that state much anymore.
Yeah, it's tough. And again, you know, when we talk to producers that are coming from wherever, because we do get requests from back east, we get requests from out west, California, Texas, New Mexico, even Pennsylvania, New York, we have requests of, hey, what do you have available for a producer in your state? So, yeah, those resources are important, as well as a business-friendly environment. So right now, you know, Kansas is a business-friendly environment, especially in agriculture. So we want to grow in agriculture. We want to be, again, go back to that strategic buzzword. We want to make sure we're providing an environment where it's good, sustained growth, that they can be successful in our people that are already here are successful as well.
So what specifically are you doing to expand dairy numbers in Kansas?
Well, like I said, we recruited, really went after a processor, and I could even back up, because there's a little bit of context that may go with that. About 25, 30 years ago, we had 56 western counties. They combined to form the Western Kansas Rural Economic Development Alliance. They've been around longer than that, but they really was intentional about, hey, we have space, we have feed, we have the resources, let's recruit some dairies. So they went out to, every year they go out to the World Ag Expo in Tulare, California, and about 25, 30 years ago, they invited producers to have a meeting there, invited producers to Kansas, so we saw that dairy growth started in western Kansas. And now with the addition, you know, we have three fairly large processors in southwest Kansas now. We'll have three, I guess, when Hillmar comes online. So we're going to see an expansion in cow numbers just with that demand. It's kind of like the chicken and egg. You know, if you don't have it, if you build it, will they come? And if you don't build it, will they still come? So,
visiting with Russell Prashka, a lot of similarities, obviously, between North Dakota and Kansas, because you guys also have a pretty good football team there.
You had to bring that up. But yes, yeah, I'd love to put a shout out to North Dakota. Thank you for Chris Kleiman. He has been a wonderful addition. So,
You are specifically, though, Kansas State Agriculture Department, right?
So we are the official Kansas Department of Agriculture, a state agency. So we partner a lot with Kansas State University. We actually moved our headquarters from Topeka, Kansas, capital, to Manhattan in 2014, I believe, is when the offices were built. So it's really about how do we strategically work with K-State, research and extension, and then also we're a little more centered now in the state in terms of close to our stakeholders that are in the agriculture industry.
I remember when that happened, and I go, you know, it's like, hey, that was like a V8 moment. Wow, why didn't we do this before, huh?
Exactly. And it's also caused some other agencies, you know, USDA moved some of their offices to Kansas City, Missouri there. So, and since COVID, I think a lot of that is, you know, changed the workplace as well. So we know we don't have to be in the office all the time. There's that remote possibility. And, you know, we don't have to be in Topeka. We don't have to be in D.C. We can be wherever we need to be closer to our stakeholders.
All right, Russell Prashka, Kansas State Department of Agriculture at Kansas State University. Another item high on your agenda is H-2A, workforce. Good help is hard to find, whether you're Walmart or harvesting sugar beets.
Definitely. It doesn't matter who you talk to. And here at the Commodity Classic, you could ask the question of anybody, are you hiring? And everybody's hand's going to go up. And if it doesn't go up, the other question I always ask him is, if the right person came along, would you make a spot for him? And it's most definitely they would hire him. So finding help is one thing. Finding good help that's trained, that has that skill set, or that has just the attitude and the apt ability to do the job or want to do the job in agriculture. So, you know, in Kansas, we're no different than anybody else. I just visited with the U.S. Custom Harvesters. We've got H-2A issues in Kansas, whether that's processing them. Probably the two biggest issues with the H-2A is that the wage that comes into play. So that Central Plains and area has that prevailing wage that you have to pay on those custom on the H-2A workers. So that's a real big issue. In some of those cases, that salary or that hourly wage is going to go from 17 and a half, I think, is right around there, up to 25 if they're a truck driver. So if that rule, I believe, goes into effect after March 30th. So when those H-2A guys come over, if they hop in a truck and take off and take one load to town, they're now classified as a driver and have to be paid that driver's wage. So that's really going to hurt a lot of our custom harvesters and draw down that workforce side of it. And the real issue is we can't get, you know, for the especially the custom harvesters, that's a short time. They're not full-time employees. They're 6, 7, maybe 9 or 10 months of the year, so it's part-time. You know, a lot of people don't want to work part of the year, and it's ag. There's times it's going to be dirty. There's times it's going to be long hours, and a lot of people just don't want to work that anymore. So finding those people that enjoy that and have a passion. So that kind of plays into another thing that we're doing through the Kansas Department of Agriculture. We started a program about 4 years ago called an immersion experience. We all have field trips. You know, we take youth on field trips. We do guest speakers, and there's career fairs. But this is a little bit different. It takes, you know, a part of the day or all day, whatever the company we're working with wants to do. And it's really marrying up local schools and showing those students, here's great opportunities in your own backyard. And then take it a step farther is you're going to actually do part of this job for, you know, 20, 30 minutes, or it could be an hour session, and rotate them through the entire industry or that entire company. So one of my great examples is we did a feedlot in Western Kansas, and those students got to drive a brand new Kenworth with a Rotomix feed box and got to try to lay out a strip of silage in a bunker.
How many of them backed into a grain bin?
Nobody did that. We had no accidents. So, you know, they got to run the payloader for a minute. They got to work with the procurement guy and talk about how do we get our grains in and what do we need to do. And I'm looking at the Board of Trade and how are we making these trades and how are we procuring this grain and the feed sources. They worked with the cattle guy that evaluates and decides when the cattle are headed to slaughter. They got to work in the feed mill and balance a ration made a little recipe of their own in the feed mill. So they got to experience everything, as well as the back office. So HR, accounting, and those types of things, to show them that, hey, these are great jobs. When you drive by a feed yard, it's just not pen riders and feed truck drivers. There's a lot behind the scenes that you don't see. And so giving them an experience just to say, hey, I want to know more about that, or I need to learn more, maybe. So every one of those we've done them in equipment dealerships, we've done them in swine operations, we've done them in dairies and feed yards. So we're branching out across the state and trying to do it in every sector of ag.
Russ, what's your elevator speech to farmers to solve the problem of finding good help?
Experience. Invite those kids out. The good old ag kids are gone. You know, the 80s ran a lot off. A lot of people aren't returning back to the farms. So those good old ag kids, when you could call up your neighbor or you could call up your local ag teacher, extension agent, say, hey, I need a couple of good, strong kids for the weekend. Send me some. You know, when I was growing up, that was not a problem. Today, you can't find them. And if you can find them, you're going to have to train them. So I think that's the biggest thing, is we got to get our head wrapped around. You have to take the time to give them experience and train them, which a lot of producers don't mind that, because I'm going to train them the way I want them to run my equipment. And that goes for any ag industry. You know, we've got to provide some experiences to encourage youth to stay local and to go into those ag jobs.
Russell Plashka of the Kansas Department of Agriculture at K-State. Thank you very much, Russ, and thanks for some great wisdom for farmers out there.
Thank you, Mick. I really enjoyed it.